Good, roll call.
We do. Dr. Pistio?
Aye.
Dr. Cornwell?
Aye.
Ms. Remick?
Aye.
Ms. Hunter?
Aye.
Dr. King?
Aye.
Mr. Flynn?
Aye.
We will move into executive session at 9:31. You're back in session at 9:41.
Okay.
Mr. Brown, I'm just curious, the last time you were here, I don't know if you remember, I asked you if you had sought professional help and you said no.
I did.
Is that true, or did you just not want to admit that?
I did not want to. As I said, this was extremely embarrassing. And yeah, as I said before, in retrospect, yes, come forward the first time. But that was the reason why I didn't disclose that.
Okay.
I was just embarrassed.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that.
Mr. Brown, I was touched by your statement today. I felt that I wasn't here for most of the hearings and stuff for you related to this, but I was the last time you were here in the fall. And this one rang true to me, that what you're saying is the truth, okay, and that you obviously want to make amends, so to speak, and change. the concern and worry of the board, however, remains, and that is, are you safe? Not you safe, right? Is the public safe? And that kind of remains the key question in my mind. I will therefore make a motion that we enter into a consent agreement with you, between the board and you, and that in that you would agree to undergo an analysis, an evaluation by a board-approved therapist that would do a complete evaluation and give us a report that would provide any information about whether or not you are safe to practice physical therapy and under what situations, so that we can make a better determination of really how to deal with your request for a hearing. So
I'll second for the purposes of discussion.
Okay, any discussion?
Yes, I at this juncture. Well, let me also say that I was so pleased to hear you speak today, because for me, at least, this was very different than previous board meetings, and I also agree that it rang true for me, and I'm so impressed that you had the courage to, in my mind anyway, take what I perceive to be a first step. I know you're indicating that you've pursued recovery, but to me this was the first step, which is kind of a public acknowledgement of that. So I applaud you for the tremendous difficulty, overcoming the tremendous difficulty that I can imagine that you may have had with that. But for me that is kind of still a first step, so I would not be inclined to enter into a consent agreement. I think, I guess I'm a little, while I'm impressed at the courage it took to speak publicly, I guess I'm a little disappointed that Mr. Brown didn't undertake these additional support or objective evidence on his own. To me, I'm concerned that there were no additional sessions for over a year, and so I would not be in favor of a consent agreement at this time.
Okay. I appreciate your concerns. I would be in favor of a consent agreement. As I've said many times before, I think everyone deserves a second chance, but not a third. And I know it took a lot of courage for you and for your wife to come here, and I appreciate that, and I hope it will make you a better person and a better physical therapist.
My feelings are that, you know, I find that the whole situation that led to the suspension just don't think that no matter what we do, the public will be protected. You know, something like this, I don't see how I could ever say that you will be truly safe. When you have an addiction, you always have it. And something like this, you know, I don't want to have something death before us at any time when he has a relapse and did something. To me, he crossed a line that should not have been crossed, and then, and there's no going back. And I would, I see no point of giving a consent agreement when I feel that he should not have a license, period. And I don't think there's a situation that I would think that the public would be protected fully.
Okay. Okay. You don't have to say
that. Yeah, I know. It's a struggle for me, I'll be honest. I was touched today, but I was here in October when there was no report, no change, no anything, and I wasn't here 2 years ago. And so I'm really sitting on the fence about this one.
I was here then, and I can tell from my perspective, Mr. Brown came across very arrogant and very not sorry. And I don't think you gave the board a very good chance of helping you. We're not your enemy. As far as, I don't think I think that's why he needs to go to a professional that the board approves, so they can psychoanalyze and tell us whether he's fit to go back to being a physical therapist. And then there's always the possibility of having restrictions put on his license.
I hear everybody's comments, and I appreciate them. The common things I hear is that we're all touched by today's statement, but we're nervous because we can't predict the future. Okay, the board has dealt with addictions of all sorts over the years, and some more serious than others. Therapists stealing drugs from patients, or being addicted to alcohol or something, drugs, and we've dealt with those addictions. Okay, even though we had no absolute proof that it would never ever happen again, but we've been able to deal with it in faith, good faith, that we get the best possible evidence, and then we put some restrictions in there that make some sense, but allows an individual to continue to practice physical therapy. And I think that's what we can do now. I think we're clever enough, we can come up with logical, appropriate restrictions down the line. What we need to do right now is get an evaluation by a board-approved therapist that will give us an idea of whether or not he's safe. That report could come back and says, well, I'm not comfortable today, but you know what? Give me 4 to 6 months, and I think he would be. All right, great. That would be a really good information to have. Or he might come back and says, no, I don't think he would. But we need that as a first step to decide what we do next.
Right, I think that's why I indicated I was a little disappointed or surprised that Mr. Brown didn't do that on his own accord.
I think it's unfortunate, but I am not surprised. Okay? I think that there's people do or don't do things for all sorts of reasons that often don't make any sense to anybody else. Okay? I would like to know whether or not we ought to proceed to the next step. This, but right now we don't have the information we want to determine this hearing. And I think an evaluation would give us that information. He seems to be doing everything he can think of. Okay? Well, let's give him one more tool, right, that will help us. Right? And then we can make a decision.
Your whole premise and is that this particular type of addiction is fixable, controllable, and when it comes to the areas of sex, I don't think addiction in that area or any type of preference in that area can be fixed, or if you have a preference for it, you're going to have a preference for it. That's kind of my feeling about it. You know, it's different. I see that sex addiction and sexual misconduct that has come before the board in a different realm than alcohol or drugs. I think I agree with you that with alcohol and drugs, there are things that we can do as a board to help the person in recovery. When it comes to sex, I don't think it's in the same realm, and I don't think we have the tools to do what we need to do, or the ability. I mean, I just don't see it, and I think the potential harm to the public is much greater. If someone falls off the wagon after drinking, well, you know, the chances are that they're going to fall off the wagon whether we give them a license or not, and I don't see where sex addiction is in the same category. It rises above that. So I don't see it as something fixable. And I am just, when people cross the line, for me, it is a line that should not be crossed. There's too many vulnerable people that a therapist comes in contact with, that somebody that's iffy and has a stated problem, we just have to say no to that. And I agree that his testimony today has, you know, sounded very compelling. But, you know, I think this is a case that, well, yes, it is compelling. But yes, he was not forthright with us, he was not honest with us, and he has an addiction that could possibly traumatize patients. And I would definitely not support in any manner moving in a direction that would give him license.
Mr. Kuttner, I appreciate your concern. Just because he goes and gets psychoanalyzed doesn't mean we have to approve his license afterwards. And I don't feel I am professionally qualified to make a statement that he's safe or he's not safe. I think that's why we need a professional to give us that information.
But then a professional will give us an opinion.
An opinion.
Which we, and the buck stops with us. You know, when we grant a license, the onus is on us. Do we want to give somebody who has admitted that they have a type of sex addiction a license? And that's what it boils down to. When it comes to that area, I say, no. I mean, that's a line too far that we should say no. And I understand that, you know, for professionals on the board, you're in a healing profession. You want to, people come into CFPT and your job is to fix them. And, you know, and you take that to heart. But this is a situation I don't think we can fix or is fixable at all. It may be controllable, but it's not fixable. And that's what worries me.
I appreciate your concern.
No, I would agree that, that fix is probably the wrong term, but I think it can be managed. I don't, in that regard, I don't think it's a different animal compared to other addictions. There are a lot of different kinds of addictions, and many of them you never get rid of the urge, but you are able to manage the urge.
I can appreciate what Mr. Clinton is saying if I think about, you know, other situations such as pedophilia and things like that. They can manage necessarily that, you know, those addictions, however, are not most likely placed in situations where there would be a temptation or an opportunity to fall off the wagon. And I'm suspecting that's sort of what Mr. Clinton is alluding to. I'm in agreement with that, that he has a potentially manageable for his life, but it, you know, not necessarily manageable for being in a situation with a vulnerable patient.
Any other comments?
Mr. President, if I could, I'd like to restate the motion and make sure that we're all on board. The motion would be to continue this hearing to a future date and offer Mr. Brown a consent agreement for him to undergo a psychosexual evaluation at his expense from a board-approved evaluator, and then submit the results to the board for additional consideration in connection with the application.
So everybody understand we're not really making a decision today.
Correct.
But we are asking for additional information.
Correct.
Okay. You look, Mona, you look like you're going to say something.
Can I say something, or is that out of form? I just have a question.
You're asking me? I have no idea what's out of form.
I think we've already made a motion, and the discussion
it's
is
a discussion, yeah.
So, no further discussion. So on the motion to offer consent, Dr. Bastillo?
No.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
No.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
No.
Mr. Clinton?
No.
The motion fails.
Okay. Sorry.
We need to make a motion on the denial of the application?
Correct.
I make a motion that we deny the request for licensure.
Is it reinstatement?
No, it's a new application.
Okay, so deny the application for licensure.
Needs to be a second.
Second.
Discussion. Dr. Bastillo?
Aye.
Dr. Cornwell?
Aye.
Ms. Remick?
Aye.
Ms. Hunter?
Aye.
Dr. King?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Aye.
The denial of application is passed. Yes, I was going to request one myself.
So we're in recess at 10.